Good morning. Welcome to St. John's. We have been taken over today by the Plant family, in that it's a bit of a surprise. Debbie's leading the youth. No, it's not. But the major thing that we have today is we would like to welcome our own Alex Plant, who is going to be our leader in service today. He's going to continue without any help from Ian Johnson or Dr. Rennie, who I see in the congregation. I'd like to give you a few words about Alex. I first met Alex in 2008. We started singing in the choir together, and Gloria Park used to always pick on us because, first of all, my accent is a bit different than his, and Alex tended to sing too loudly, which was good because he covered all of my mistakes. So I met Alex in 2008. He has been a faithful member of St. John's since then. However, schooling took him away, and he went up to University of Ottawa, and he studied for 4 years, and he has completed successfully his degree in history. Now, when I say completed successfully, he has not yet received his diploma. So for me, you haven't got the paper, so you got to work on the paper, Alex. You got to get the paper. He's active in the youth, and he has actually applied to become a minister in training. So I call him a MIT, M-I-T, minister in training. This is actually a very good thing because St. John's processed his application, sent it through to Presbytery, and he has received a letter of acceptance from McGill. So Alex is started on his path to become a minister. So let us warmly welcome Alex Plant this morning, who is going to be our leader in service. Alex, welcome.
And a very happy Christian Family Sunday to you all, and a special happy Mother's Day to all the incredibly hardworking and dedicated mothers. It takes more than a single day to appreciate the work that you do, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Welcome to worship this morning. Whether you are a longtime member of St. John's or you're here for the first time, I'd like to personally welcome you here today. Following the service, there will be a coffee hour, which is a time of fellowship, to greet and talk with one another. If you're able, I'd invite you to join us for some refreshments and to say hello. We would be honored if you could join us. And if not, then I hope you enjoy the remainder of your Sunday. A few announcements before we begin the service. I've received an update from Reverend Ian Johnston on the status of our organist, Gary Postma. He is continuing to recover at the Heart Institute, and he is hoping to return to his home in Morrisburg within the coming week. He thanks the congregation for their prayers and best wishes for him and his family. And, on a happier note, Gary and his wife are looking forward to the arrival of another grandchild within the month. We ask that you continue to keep Gary and his family in your prayers as he recovers. A reminder to the Board of Managers that there will be a meeting this coming Tuesday, May the 16th at 7 p.m. And the McGaughey Organ Concert will be happening on Sunday, May the 28th at 3 p.m. here at St. John's, featuring Rashawn Allwood, Ethan Gilmore, and Danielle Valancourt. All proceeds from the freewill offering will go towards the Refugee Fund. We hope you can make it. And because next weekend is the Victoria Day long weekend, there will be no Youth Night on Monday, May 22nd. And we are also looking for a few more volunteer drivers to help bring people to and from worship. For some, transportation can be a burden with no bus service running on Sundays and the cost of taxis adding up each Sunday. I would ask you to prayerfully consider volunteering a seat in your vehicle to help a member of our congregation in need. If you feel this is something you are able to do, please speak to either Reverend Johnston or Susan McDonald. And finally, some very exciting news. As many of you know, our country is celebrating 150 years of Confederation, which compared to the age of this congregation seems awfully young. A bilingual worship service will be held at St. John's on Sunday, June the 4th at 7 p.m. The service is being hosted by the Cornwall Area Christian Council, of which St. John's is a member. For more information, please consult your bulletin. Let us come together as one in worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us be thankful to God for all that he has given us, even when the timing is not always to our liking. Let us show our love for one another with the pure intentions Jesus taught his disciples. Let us draw strength from the Holy Spirit that blesses and protects us. Please join me in our opening hymn, number 434, For the Beauty of the Earth. Please join me in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the family and community of Christ that we belong to. Guide us into the love and support you give us every day. Teach us to help the members of our Christian family who live with hardships. Speak to us your holy word that we may grow in faith and loving kindness. Bless each and every one of us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thine kingdom come. Thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Before the youth come up to present their mini pageant, let us take a moment to remember the child in each of us. For we are all children of God, and in Matthew chapter 9, verse 14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Sometimes in our daily life of work, study, and commitment, we forget to take time to laugh or sing or play like little children. Our praise song asks the question, can a little child like me thank the Father fittingly? We discover that the answer is yes. A little child like you and me can thank the Father fittingly. Please remain seated as we sing hymn number 441. I would like to now invite the youth up to the front. I hear they have a very special presentation for us.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Mother's Day. The children are going to be putting on a pageant for you, a mini pageant, all about Mother's Day, and it's set as three classrooms. What we're going to ask you to do is, as we switch each classroom, we're going to ask you to close your eyes until they're ready for the second part and the third part. The pageant is called the Mother Zone. It was a peaceful Sunday in May, a Sunday much like any other. Parents bustled about, getting ready for church. Nobody was prepared for the unusual events that would take place once they had passed through the doors of the church. Suddenly, they had entered the Mother Zone. It is biblical for children to honor their parents. To those who honor their fathers and mothers, the Bible promises long life. Honoring parents is also a way to show one's wisdom. Proverbs says that a wise man makes his father glad, but a foolish child brings sadness to his mother. Yes, honoring parents is biblical and wise. But today, when people walk through the doors of the church, all thoughts of fathers were forgotten. For these people had entered the mother zone.
What are we celebrating today? Mother's Day. That's right. And we're making something very special for all the mothers in the church.
We've all heard the song, M is for the many things, da da da. But now, matters, no matter how many times it's been used before, the song always seems fresh and new somehow. When you've entered the mother zone.
Let's all think about what the letters of the word mother could mean. What about M? What could M stand for?
M is for mouth.
I don't think that's quite the right word, do you?
Sure it is. See?
That's true. Sometimes M is for mouth. But do you think that's the right word for Mother's Day?
Baby mice have mothers too.
Yes, I guess they do. But what word could be good for our mothers?
M is for mad. Well, when I draw dinosaurs on my bedroom wall, Mom gets mad.
Well, I suppose sometimes, but...
Yes, and when I spill chocolate milk on the white rug, Mom gets mad.
That may be true, but...
When my sister and I fight, Mom gets mad.
Yes, sometimes mothers do get mad. But is your mother angry most of the time?
No,
most of the time she's happy. She loves you. So what would be a good word to describe your mother most of the time? Something that starts with the letter M.
Magic.
Magic?
Sure. When I fall down and hurt myself, Mom kisses the hurt and makes it better. Even Dad can't do that.
And when there's thunder and lightning, Mom hugs me and I'm not scared anymore.
And she can see through walls. She always knows what I'm doing, even when she can't see me.
Then that is a good word to tell about your mother. M is for magic. Now, what about the letter O?
O is for over.
Over?
Because she is sitting over there.
Yes, she is, but that's not what I meant. What is a good word to describe your mother all the time, not just when she's sitting over there?
Oh, it's for or.
Or?
Because sometimes she says, finish your supper, or there is no dessert.
Well, sometimes...
Sometimes she says, do your homework or you cannot watch TV.
That's true. Mothers do have to be sure that we do what is good for us. But do your mothers always scold you?
No.
So what about other times? What's a good word beginning with O?
O can be for open.
Open?
When I was little and could not reach the doorknob, Mom always opened the door for me.
She opens the bag inside the cereal box for me.
When I need a hug, she always opens her arms to hug me.
Perfect. Open is a wonderful word to describe your mother. We'll let the letter O stand for open.
From the mouths of babes come words of understanding. Even the youngest children have amazing insight when they enter the mother zone. So I ask you all now to close your eyes, everyone. Okay. You may open your eyes, and we are now in Class B.
What special day are we celebrating today?
Mother's Day!
No matter what the age group, whether there is a special day, every teacher asks the same question. Everyone knows the answer, and the teacher knows everyone knows the answer, but something in a teacher requires them to ask the question. Teachers are always the same, even in the mother zone.
We need to find the right word for both of our letters. What could be a good word for the letter T?
T is for tarantula.
Tarantula?
Even baby tarantulas have mothers.
True, but the first class used that joke with mouse. Let's think of a better word for the letter T.
Tapeworm.
Tapeworm?
That's what my mom says when I'm always hungry. You must have a tapeworm.
T is for tongue, because when my mom always asks me what I want and I point at it, she says, you have a tongue, use it.
T is for towel. Mom always says, don't just wipe your hands on the towel. Wash them with soap and water first.
Do you hang up the towel after you are finished? Don't just throw it on the floor.
Those all might be good answers, but there must be something even better. We want the best possible word for the letter T.
How about talented?
T is for talented?
Yeah, my mom has lots of talent. She can turn leftovers into a special meal.
My mom took a car downtown and turned it into a parking lot.
My mom works at her job all day. She works hard and still has time to cook dinner and help me with my homework.
I think we found the perfect word for T. T is for talented. All our mothers have special talents. Those talents make them special mothers. Now, what about the letter H?
Horse! Because my dad said mom works like a horse.
Maybe your dad should help more, and she would not have to work so hard.
A man may work from sunup to sundown, but a woman's work is never done. Normally, we wouldn't suggest that men do not work hard enough, but today, we have entered the mother zone.
H is for hers. Then, on Father's Day, H could be for his.
Possibly, but let's try to get past pronouns.
How about hollow? Because if she does not talk about tapeworms, she asks me if I have a hollow leg.
H is for hyena, because mom laughs like one.
Hydrogen!
Hydrogen?
I've always kind of liked hydrogen.
Those things are about you. What word can describe your mother's?
Hunter.
I didn't know your mother liked to hunt.
She doesn't, but she hunts all the time. When I can't find the right clothes to wear to school, she helps me hunt for them. My mom hunts through the cookbooks to find good recipes.
My mom hunts through the cupboards to find things that nobody else can find.
My mom hunts through my homework to help me when I can't figure things out.
Our mom hunts through the newspaper to find things on sale. She says that helps our family's money go further.
I think we might have found just the right word for the letter H.
Children sometimes seem to think only of themselves, but all that changes completely once they have entered the mother zone. I ask you to close your eyes again because there's going to be a recess and the classes are going to switch around. You may now open your eyes.
So, what special day are we celebrating today?
Mother's Day!
Teachers can't help themselves. No matter the age of the students, they continue to ask the same question. And every time they ask, they get the same answer when they are in the mother zone.
Our letters are E and R. What could we have for the letter E?
That's easy!
Why would E stand for easy?
It wouldn't.
But you just said it did. I asked, what could we have for the letter E?
And I said, that's easy.
What?
What's the name of the guy on first?
No, that's who. What's on second?
I don't know.
He's on third.
Oh, wait a minute. I get it. E isn't for easy, but finding the right word to describe our mothers is easy.
Right, the word is eagle-eyed.
Why eagle-eyed?
Because if I'm supposed to clean the living room and don't dust all the furniture, she sees it.
And if I don't vacuum under all the furniture, she sees it.
If I don't pick up all my clothes, she sees that too.
If I don't take out the garbage, she sees it. And she tells me about it.
Eagle-eyed might be a good word at that, but do we have any other ideas?
Exaggerate.
Exaggerate?
I've told you a million times, wash behind your ears.
If I live to be 100, I will never understand why you did that.
Why do you always have to slam the door?
I think I prefer eagle-eyed to exaggerate, but are there any other ideas?
Elephant, because she has a memory like one. She says, I told you 6 days ago you should start your big report. Don't blame me if it's not finished on time.
Mine says, I warned you yesterday about fighting with your brother. Go to your room now.
I told you 4 times last week. Always go to the bathroom before we leave. You'll just have to wait.
You had a cookie at 3 o'clock. You'll spoil your supper if you have any more. And don't slam the door on the way out.
You have some good ideas. But if we tell the audience mothers are like elephants, someone might get the wrong idea. Any others?
E is for experts, because mothers have to be experts at everything.
When we are sick, mom knows just what to do to make us feel better. She's an expert doctor.
My mom makes good meals. She's an expert chef.
Mom knows where everything is. Even when we lose it, she's an expert at finding things.
Mom drives us everywhere we need to go. She could run a taxi company. She's an expert driver.
It sounds like moms have to be an expert in all areas.
Expert plumber and carpenter.
Expert chef.
Expert chauffeur.
Expert navigator.
Expert coach.
Expert doctor. Expert referee.
Expert everything.
I think we have found the perfect word for E. Now what about R? No, we're not doing that joke again.
What joke? I was gluing this and my hand slipped and ruined it. Rack, rack.
Don't worry about it. You can use something else. What about the letter R?
Rushing. Mothers are always rushing. Hurry! Get up or you'll be late!
Hurry up and get dressed. We'll be late for church.
Hurry up and get to the bus or you'll miss it. And don't slam the door on your way out.
I guess that's another area of mom's expertise, getting us places on time. What other words beginning with the letter R could describe our mother?
Rescuer. She's always getting me out of trouble.
Right. When I was little, she kept me from putting dangerous things in my mouth.
She always reminds us about safety rules.
When my friends want me to do something I don't want to do, I can always say, Mom won't let me do that.
We have got lots of good ideas for that one. Any others, though?
Retriever. She always manages to keep stuff I throw by mistake. Radar, she always seems to know where we are and if we're getting near trouble.
Ruby, because she is a gem.
Recording, because she can play back anything we've ever said.
Okay, we have had lots of good ideas, but we seem to have the most agreement on rescuer. Let's finish this up.
It is truly amazing how many different ways one person can be seen. But we shouldn't be surprised. Anything can happen in the mother zone. O is for open. T is for talented. H is for hunter, E is for expert, and R is for rescuer. It is a place where anything can happen, and often does. A place where anyone can suddenly realize the importance of his or her mother. A place where people, who didn't seem to notice you, suddenly see you as the most important person in their world. A place known as the mother zone.
thank you for such a wonderful mini pageant. It really brings motherhood into perspective. How hardworking and dedicated they are. How irreplaceable they are in our lives. Let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the mothers and the families we belong to here on earth. Generations of your creation living their lives to bring us together here at this moment to worship you. May your word speak to us, O Lord, as we strive to live by that word, and may the hearts and minds of us all be in tune with your will. In your name we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite Phyllis up to read today's scriptures.
The Old Testament lesson this morning is on page 25 in the Old Testament portion of your Pew Bible. It's from Genesis 28, verses 10 to 22. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring, and your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel. But the name of the city was Luz at the first. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone, which I have set up for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give one-tenth to you. And the responsive psalm is on page 551 in the Old Testament. Psalm 84, reading responsively. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. The New Testament lesson is 1 Corinthians on page 166 in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 27. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. This is the word of the Lord.
Please join me in singing another wonderful hymn, "Happy the Home When God Is There," number 703. To invite any members who are of our younger generation to go downstairs for Sunday school, where Keppel will be teaching a wonderful lesson for our Mother's Day celebration. And as you may already know, today is Mother's Day. We also know that day as Christian Family Sunday. But I have another name that I feel better describes the idea of celebrating the Christian family. Ohana. For those of you who aren't professional linguists or Disney fans, Ohana is a Hawaiian term. It was popularized by the Disney franchise Lilo and Stitch, which for any of you that have kids or grandkids growing up in the early 2000s, you may have heard of this film. It is the story of a little girl named Lilo being raised by her older sister and acting like the rambunctious little child that I'm sure some of us may have been back in the day. The older sister agrees to let little Lilo adopt a dog to keep her occupied and to teach her responsibility. The dog, given the name Stitch by Lilo, turns out to be an illegal alien experiment who happened to crash land on the Hawaiian Islands. The story is filled with chaos, mishaps, and bad behavior, but ends on a good note when the alien experiment learns the word Ohana, where Lilo famously says, "Ohana means family. Family means nobody gets left behind or forgotten." However, the word Ohana was not invented by Disney. Rather, it has existed for generations. Disney's definition brings it to a level children can understand, but Ohana has a much deeper meaning than that. It is a term not only used for blood-related family, but close family ties, and even extending beyond that. I know that doesn't sound like much of a definition for you, so I'll use a few examples to clarify. In the standard definition of a family, they're usually a set of parents, sometimes siblings, children, cousins, aunts, uncles, grandparents, great-grandparents, and so on. But our definition of family has grown over the years. There is no universal definition for the word family, as some do not have mothers and fathers living in the same house, or sometimes the parents aren't even biological at all. Jesus' family, for example, could not fit in this definition. Jesus is the Son of God, not Joseph. But despite the baby not belonging to Joseph, he took on the responsibility of caring for Jesus. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 13 to 23, Joseph risks his life and the life of his entire family to keep Jesus safe from Herod. Verse 16 says, "When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under." Joseph probably would have been killed by Herod if they ever found out that he was hiding Jesus. Joseph lived in the spirit of Ohana. No one was left behind or forgotten. And Joseph raised Jesus as if he was his own biological son. But Ohana is bigger than that. While I was undergoing final exams during my undergrad, I found it impossible to go home for Easter, as I had an exam the Thursday before and the Tuesday after. I had no Easter plans and no one to spend Easter with. After a Good Friday service at the church I attended in Ottawa, I spoke to a member of the congregation. I'd gotten to know her through working at camp and attending the Sunday worship services over the years. I told her that I had to stay in Ottawa due to my exams and that I was alone for Easter. Right after I finished telling her this, she immediately invited me to Sunday dinner with her family. I was a bit surprised, as she also told me that she had her sister and her aunt coming in from out of town, and I felt like I would be imposing. At first, I declined, as I didn't wish to interfere with her family plans, especially with relatives coming from out of town. It can be stressful making sure there is enough for everyone to eat. But despite my initial concerns, she insisted that I come for dinner, and that it would not be an imposition. She opened up her family to me when I couldn't spend it with mine. She became a second family to me. She echoes the words in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 35 to 40. "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Do you know anyone who has done that for you? Who has given you food while you were hungry or drink while you were thirsty? Who was once known as a stranger and invited you in, or you were sick and they helped look after you? Are you capable of doing that for someone else?" This congregation is celebrating 230 years of ministry. 52 Sundays a year for 230 years makes 11,960 Sundays that this congregation has met for worship. While that doesn't account for the harsh winters, and it doesn't include Christmas, Easter, or other celebrations, over 12,000 hours of worship is a long time. We belong to a deep tradition in this congregation. And like any family, we have had our blessings and we have had our trying times. But being here today, we represent not only 230 years of building a community together, we represent 2,000 years of building Christ's church. Look at the people sitting to your left. Look at the people sitting to your right. Those that are behind you and those that are in front of you. Look across to the other side of the church, and what do you see? People you have made known for years and years, and people you may have never seen before in your life. When Jesus teaches us to feed those that are hungry, or give a drink to someone that is thirsty, or take care of someone that is sick, or visit them in prison, who is Jesus referring to? Would you do that all for your mother and your father, for your brother and your sister, your aunts and your uncles and cousins, your own children? I gather most would agree that they would. What about the people that live next to your house, the people that you work with, or the people that you go to school with? Maybe you don't know them as well. What about the homeless that live on the street, or the drug addicts, or the gang members who commit crimes just to survive? Would you feed them or visit them? Some immediate reactions might be to say, no way. To be honest, that would probably be my immediate reaction. But stop and think for a moment. Why is that our automatic answer? To not give money to those who beg for it on the street. Well, you might try to justify it by saying, well, they might use it to buy more drugs, or they're just scamming people out of the money that could go to other areas in need. But imagine if that were Jesus sitting homeless on the street. Or imagine if it were your own child or one of your parents. Jesus helped the lepers, the homeless, the worst kind of sinner imaginable. He ate with them, talked with them, healed them, and walked among them. Why can't we do the same? Why can't we extend our ohana to those we don't know or to those we don't trust or agree with? When we help others like Jesus helped the poor, we are bringing the spirit of ohana to those that can use a little compassion and love in their lives. Those that are broken or hurt, or those that suffer in silence. We have a duty. Just like if a child needs a parent or a sibling begs for forgiveness, we have a responsibility to help those who need us. Our ohana is not just blood family or those we hold close bonds with, or even members of this congregation. Ohana is even bigger than that. There are several examples of global events that bring together so many people around the world to celebrate both unity and diversity. The Olympics that happen every 2 years brings together countries that are at war with one another militarily, ideologically, or religiously. They set aside those differences to compete in sport. Countries like North and South Korea, who are still at war, set aside their differences in the Olympic spirit to celebrate the world's love of sport and friendly competition. In Europe, the Eurovision Song Contest has brought a total of 52 countries over its 62-year history to celebrate the love of music. Countries from Portugal to Russia, Iceland to Israel, and everything in between have put aside political and ideological differences to perform their songs to compete in an Olympic-style competition. If countries like Russia and Ukraine can compete in a music competition despite the Crimean crisis happening at the same time, can't we go out of our way to help a stranger? Isn't that what Jesus calls us to do? To live in the spirit of ohana, to feed those that are hungry, or shelter those that need refuge? Of course, we are not expected to end world hunger or end homelessness right from the start. It begins with small acts of kindness. Challenge yourself to do one extra kind act today, whether it's saying hello to a family member you haven't spoken to in years, or inviting the neighbors over for dinner. Maybe volunteer an hour or two out of your day to help at the Agape Center, or help fundraise for Baldwin House. It doesn't have to be something as massive as a global initiative. Start out small, and like the mustard seed, your kind act today could grow into an entire movement tomorrow. Celebrate Ohana not only with your loved ones and your neighbors. Celebrate with those who need a little Ohana in their lives. It might just be the one thing they really need. Amen. Let us prepare our hearts once again as we live out the spirit of Ohana in our offerings to the Lord. The work that we as a congregation do in our community and around the world cannot be done without your support. Your prayers, your volunteering, and your financial contributions make it possible for kids to go to camp, for families to get clean drinking water, for the good news of Christ to be spread around the world, and to allow so many missions to be done in Jesus' name. Our offerings to the Lord will now be received. Lord God, we thank you for the blessings in our life and for the spirit of Ohana that you call us to live every single day. We thank you for all the good work that you inspire us to do around the world, and we ask that you bless this offering. May it be acceptable in your sights as we use it to spread the good news of your Son Jesus, to live out his teachings, and to spread Ohana to those that need it most. This we ask in your name of your Son Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us once again come together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for all the blessings in our life, for the homes we have and for the families that we love and support us each and every day. We pray for those who do not have such blessings in their lives. May we be called to be a part of someone's life in a small way or in a big way. We pray that your Spirit guide us and grant us courage and strength to do the right thing when you call us upon to do so. We pray for the leaders of our governments, for Mayor O'Shaughnessy, for Premier Wynne, Prime Minister Trudeau, Governor General Johnston, and for Her Majesty the Queen. May your Spirit guide them as they make the tough decisions that govern our laws and customs here in Canada. We pray for those who have been flooded in Quebec and around the world. May they find comfort and support in their community through your loving Son, Jesus. We pray for those around the world who live in uncertain times, who live in poverty or oppression. We pray for the refugees fleeing their country and fighting to stay alive in the harsh geographical and ideological conditions that they must travel through. Grant them strength and refuge as they rebuild their lives. Lord, grant us the wisdom and the courage to live as Jesus did, feeding those that are hungry, giving a drink to those that are thirsty, those that need shelter or clothes, to visit the sick or the imprisoned. Be with us all as we strive to do good to all those we meet and to the people around the world. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 376, Lord, the Light of Your Love is Shining. join me in the commissioning. In the power of God, we come together as one united family, one in Christ and one in the Spirit. We go forth to fulfill our calling to love each other as Christ has loved us. And now let us go forth into the world, go and follow the example of Christ, extending love and compassion to everyone you see. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us, this day and always.